so glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
Now I want to talk about the good work that he's doing through you. And then next week, I'm going to talk about the good work that you do through him. I mean, there's two different things. All right, so in the book of Philippians, I'm reading from the Amplified Version. It says, "And I am convinced and sure of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will continue until the day of Jesus Christ, right up to the time of his return, developing that good work and perfecting and bringing it to full completion." And the good work doesn't mean the full work or the completed work, just the good work. He's not through with you. I mean, look at your neighbor and look at him. Look at him up and down and go, "Thank God." Because if he was through with you, I'm going to have to take you back. Amen? How many's ever taken a cake out of the oven too soon? Mm-hmm. It kind of falls apart. How many's tried to eat some food that wasn't done all the way? No. Amen. You know, somebody, I just want you to know that I have had a couple of helpings of broccoli. I have ate it. But then some people have tried to give it to me a little rawer or not cooked as much. No, I'm not eating that mess. Throw that back in the pot for a little while. It's got to be a little bit. All right. And then some people have overcooked it and I wanted to slurp it. Come on, somebody. No, I ain't doing that either. So, you know, God knows exactly what you need, how you need it, and he's doing a good work in you. Not a finished work yet, but a good work. Now, we revealed by Scripture that it is unbelief to belittle or run yourself down or degenerate yourself, to talk about yourself. Thank you, musicians. We understand that it is unbelief to do so. Do you know that I have preached this 2 weeks ago and found myself this morning doing it to myself? I'm driving to church. I got my Dunkin' coffee. I got my sandwich, my breakfast sandwich, and I'm on the way, and I start saying these things about me. And my sermon came back up to my mind and said, You're speaking unbelief and doubt about yourself. Don't you remember what you just preached? And I said, the devil is a liar. Amen. Come on, somebody. So, as we said, though, God made the stars and we gaze upon them and we wonder, and we should. God made the oceans and the seas and we take pictures about them because of their majesty and because of their beauty, and we should. God made you and me, and he created us in his glory and then died for us and to recreate us again. And so yet we've been taught that it is humility to humiliate ourselves, but it is not. It is doubt and it is unbelief. Now listen, let me talk to everybody who is the word police. Well, you know them. Don't point at them. You know them. You know, you can't even kid with some people. Oh, no, that's unbelief. That's unbelief. It's like, lighten up. Quit taking yourself so serious. Amen. Rule number 62. Amen. I didn't know there was an account, but apparently there is. We ought to give him glory for his majesty and his creation, and we ought to give him credit for the masterpiece of redemption. And the good work he is doing in you is in the majestic image of Christ. Ephesians 2:10 says this, and I'm reading from the Amplified Version again. "For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew that we may do those good works." All right, now he's doing a good work, but he's doing a good work so that we might do the good works predestined, planned before us, taking paths which he has prepared ahead of time that we may walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. Now, I know some of you right now go, well, I'm not living a good life. Well, you know, everybody wants to talk about where they are, but nobody wants to talk about the decisions you made to get you there. I believe I will. Can I tell you this? That God does an experiment on you. That although it may at times feel as if there's some cosmic experiment in your life gone horribly wrong, that's not what God has done. You're not, your life is not a Frankenstein monster, even though it looks like a Jerry Springer episode. You got to decide that I'm going to get off the merry-go-round, that I'm going to get off the show, I'm going to cancel the show and begin to make the right choices. And I can't emphasize this so much that just because you're here today doesn't mean that you walk out of this place and your life is just a tiptoe to the tulips, and everything that you've ever done in your life and all the decisions, everything is made right because you came to church and you gave your heart to God, and now everything is wonderful. When you leave here, you should have money in your pocket. Your wife ought to be beautiful. Your wife ought to love you. Your spouse, y'all get along good. Your children are good. Your job's good. Everything. That's not reality. That is fantasy. But I will tell you that if you get your heart right with God and you begin to make right decisions and you begin to line your life up with this word, as you walk this journey called life, he said, I come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Our text said that he has prearranged the good life for you if you will walk it out through scriptures and through the will of God in your life. Woo! Point number one is his plan is to prepare you to rule alongside him in eternity. That's his long range plan. But how many knows right now you can't even rule your own life? You can't even rule what's going on in your life. You can't run, you know, some people want God to promote them, but you can't even run your own life. Have you ever noticed that some of the people who are giving out advice, their lives is a wreck themselves? Because they can, how many understand that it's easier to give it out than to execute what you know? Hey, see, that's where the rubber hits the road. Because I can tell you how to lose weight. I'm an expert. I've lost thousands of pounds over my lifetime. I can tell you how to do it. Executing and consistency, there's that ugly word. Oh my God. Executing and being consistent is another thing in my life. All right? So understand this. His plan is to prepare you to rule alongside him in eternity. Now, fickle, and some people think God is fickle. Can I tell you this? That for all you super spiritual people, that God doesn't maybe speak to me as much as he does you, but he doesn't lie to me as much as he does some people. What do you mean by that, Pastor? I mean, you know people. Well, the Lord said this, the Lord said that, the Lord said this, the Lord said that, the Lord said this, the Lord. No wonder he don't have time to talk to me. He's always talking to you. Now listen to me. God doesn't have just one line. Aren't you glad? God doesn't have a party line. Glory to God. Maybe he is always on time. Hey, now only the older people will understand this. How many remember that song? Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want. Oh, Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want. And so my youngest daughter, who's on the worship team, about a year ago, she was singing that song, but she didn't know the words of that song. Here's what she was singing. Jesus on the landline, tell him what you want. Oh, Jesus on the landline, tell him what you want. She's in the day of cell phones, man. She thought that was old. Jesus on the landline. Baby, Jesus can talk to everybody at one time. If everybody's talking, you ain't got to wait your turn. You ain't got to wait out in the hallway to get ready for pastor to quit talking or somebody else to talk. You can talk to him right now. That's why that God can heal somebody right here and right next to them convict them of their sin and right next to them encourage them and right next to them do another thing, because God is a multifaceted multitasker. He can come in here and do whatever he wants to do. You just got to be recipient of it. But fickle means changing frequently, especially as regards to one's loyalties, interest, or affection. Don't look at nobody, but we know people who are fickle. Always changing their mind. Always changing their mind. A fickle person is changeable, volatile, undependable, unsteady, unfaithful in carrying out his purposes. But God is not fickle. He began with the end in mind. Whew. Somebody hear me. What he began in you, he's got an end in mind. What he started in your life, he's got an end in mind. Hey. What are you doing? I don't know. I'm just worshiping, man. Because here's what I know. That I know that God's got an end in mind for Ronnie Reed. I'm not where I should be. I'm not where I ought to be. But thank God, I'm not where I used to be. And I know that God is working in me, through me, and through and to me. Come on, somebody. He only begins what he intends to finish. I'm going to say that again. He only begins what he intends to finish. He is prepared. Well, I'm just waiting for God to... Well, what if God's waiting on you? What if God's waiting on you to step up to the pump? What if God's waiting on you to complete the class? What if God's waiting on you to learn that skill? What if God is waiting on you to do... And you think you're waiting on him, but he's waiting on you. My next slide, Mike. Because here's the deal. He is preparing for you that which he has prepared for you. He is preparing you for that which he has prepared for you. Whew. See, the problem is some of us are trying to do what God didn't prepare us to do. But God has something for you to do. God has prepared something for you. And he's preparing you for that. I just wish the Lord would bring Mr. Right. Well, how about just being Miss Right first? Well, how about being Miss Right? Just concentrate on doing what you can do. You can't, you know, I've told my children, I said, listen, you don't relax your stance because God, you think God is late. Come on, Kristen. Kristen and Brent got married in their 40s. First time, come on somebody. They've been married how long? 4 years. Christian looks a little bit more excited than Brent, but that's all right. No, Brent, he's not real boisterous like that. But what I'm saying is it doesn't matter. They could have married somebody and let their standards down. And you, listen, I'm telling you, man, it took a long time, God working on Brent to get him ready. And more than likely, it took a long time, God working on Kristen to get her ready. But here's what I've come by to tell you. That this ain't just relationship. This is anything in life. You think you're ready for the promotion, but you might not be because you're not ready. You think you're ready for the new job, but you didn't do your old job last good. Come on, or your old job good. You got to recognize that the key to your next level is this level. You got to succeed where you are if you ever plan on going to the next level. The problem is you are not compensated on what you promised to do. You are compensated on what you do. It's not a promise, it's a performance. Well, let that sink in. That's a good word right there. See, the only way to live that life that he has prepared is to cooperate with his preparation. Ooh, my Lord, I'm already at the miniskirt level right now. I'm about to go to the maxi level. I done been preaching longer than I anticipated. The only way to live the life that he has prepared is to cooperate with his preparation. Psalms 138:8 says, "The Lord will perfect that which concerns you. Your mercy and loving kindness, O Lord, endure forever. Forsake not the works of your own hand." Point number two is this, the good work through you. Go with me to John chapter 14, verse 10. Do we have that, Mike? John chapter, there we go, the Amplified. Write it down, I'll be gone here in a moment. Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his work. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Now, no scholar suggests that these works are miracles alone. We think, oh, well, the miracles that Jesus did, we will do. No scholar believes that that is truth. Miracles alone, or even miracles, is not the primarily. What is suggested is the quality and the manner of living. What do you mean by that? He means that you can live the life because of what he's doing in you. That you can have a better life than what they did back in those days because of what God is doing through you and what God is doing in you. Here's what Smith Wigglesworth. Let me go back. I'm sorry. When people see how your life is established, the level of peace you maintain, the level of love that flows through you, the tranquility of your expressions, when everything about you reveals him. Now, I'm not going to be able to share this in the 11 o'clock service because we'll be streaming live. But my nephew, by marriage, and you guys need to be careful. On 4th of July, what is those called? A mortar exploded as he was setting it off. Blew his fingers off his hand. Had to reconstruct his palm. Burned the other hand. Matter of fact, his family members found his fingers, put them on ice, took them to the hospital, and they were able to reattach two. But he's lost three fingers. So my God, be careful. You're setting off fireworks. Now here's what I'm saying. And that's tragedy. That's tragedy. But our family up there doesn't know Jesus. And man, when I say they fell apart, they fell apart. Now, it is tragic, and I'd be crying too and all these things, but they just completely fell apart with no hope. Why? Because they don't know Jesus. Jesus doesn't have the peace. It's going to be all right. I don't know how. I don't know when, but I got Jesus, and I don't know how I'm going to come out of this. I don't know how I'm going to come through this, but I got Jesus. Come on, somebody. How can you praise God when you're dealing with cancer? Because I know Jesus. How can you deal with it when you're dealing with heart issues? Because I know Jesus. How can you deal with it when you're dealing with disease and when you're dealing with pain? Because we know Jesus, and he gives us a peace that surpasses understanding. Hallelujah. Listen, everything about you should reveal him. Now, Smith Wigglesworth, for those of you who don't know, he was a mighty man of God many years ago. He boarded a train tired from hours of preaching and wanted nothing more but to go home. And he found a seat, and the only other, he found a seat on the train, and the only other passenger in that compartment became uneasy, became fidgety, and then stood up, grabbed his bags, and screamed at Smith, "You, sir, convict me of my sin," and stormed out of the car. Now, Smith Wigglesworth didn't say nothing. He didn't say a word, but this is the work through you. A few years ago, I was boarding a plane, and we had had one of those Holy Ghost services on a Sunday night, and I was boarding a plane on Monday morning, my wife and I, and as the TSA agent, he said, "Sir, I'm going to have to go through your briefcase." I said, "That's fine." I had my preaching material, and I was going to preach a meeting. And when he opened it, I'm not exaggerating, here's what he did. He opened it, he went, "Whew." I thought, oh, did I leave something in there nasty smelling or what, you know? He said, "Whew." He said, before he opened it, he said, "You a man of God, aren't you?" I don't even know how to answer that. And then he reached in and grabbed my Bible. He said, "My God, I feel the fire." He said, I knew it was on. Now that kind of pussed me up, but that's not what I'm trying to say. I went in back when it was cash and carry. I went into cash and carry with a hat on, a t-shirt, and some shorts because we just came off the boat with some flip-flops, and I was getting some things, and I went over to the deli to get something, and when I went to the deli, the woman went, "Ooh, you a Pentecostal preacher, ain't you?" And I go, "What do I have, this tattooed on my forehead?" You know, but that wasn't the case. What I'm saying is your presence has a presence. And when Jesus is reigning inside you, that he's working through you, then when you come into the room, you have a presence, and the power of hell doesn't like the power of God that's reigning within inside of you. Matthew 5 and 16 says, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Some are attracted to light. Some are repelled by the light. The light ain't you. Always remember, the light ain't you. It's the work in you. Jesus is the source of the light. Your task is to let your light shine. Don't hide it. Don't conceal it. And don't keep it a secret. Because remember this. If you're going through a dark days, don't magnify and glorify the darkness by broadcasting it to everybody and everyone. You need some people you got to confide in. But I'm talking about not everybody. You know, you ever ask, how you doing? And then 27 minutes later, wish you hadn't asked. A miracle always looks horrible at the beginning. It's not till the end of the miracle that it starts looking like a miracle. Keep the devil confused. Learn how to sing in the middle of it. Number three is this. The good work in you is the source of the good work through you. He is working a good work in you. And the good work in you is the source of the good work through you. I should put an R on that. Not though you. Through you. Remind me, Mike. Through you. The works, what when men see it, they glorify your Father who is in heaven. The good work in you is the source of the good work through you. What did Jesus say? The only good thing in me is my Father. Jesus Christ said that. So who do you think you are that you could take credit for anything? Man, I can't take credit for nothing. Any good thing you see in me is my Father which is in heaven. See, understand the process. Good work in you, the good work through you, and then next week I'm going to deal with the good work that you do. The good work that you do is last, and here's why. Because sometimes our zeal outpaces our training. I'm going to say that again. Sometimes our zeal outpaces our training. What do you mean? You think you're ready for what God prepared for you, but you ain't ready for it yet. I couldn't have handled in my 20s what God has given me the task in my 50s. I could not handle it. It was not responsible enough to handle it. But everything that I've been through is God working something in me, through me, so that he can bless the work that I do. Hey. Yeah. See, if you've not allowed that good work in you to manifest as a good work through you, you mess up the good work that you do. I know that's double talk, but I hope you're getting it. I'm going to say it again because I had to write it down a couple of times. If you allow, or if you've not allowed the good work in you, what God's doing in you, to manifest as a good work through you, then you mess up the good work that you do. Every good work is a product of grace. See, the good work, Hebrews 13:21 says, equip you in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. The equipping is the working. You see that? That when he equips you to do his will, it is the work that is done in you. You can't do the work, you can't do the will of God until God does his work in you. That's why some people are frustrated, because they're trying to do a work for God that God hasn't done in them yet. I had a young preacher say to me one time, they goes, you know, Pastor Ronnie, he was crying because he was going through something. He goes, Pastor Ronnie, he said, every time I preach something, I have to go through it. It makes me not want to preach on certain items. I go, well, welcome to the club. I said, why don't you try this? I said, why don't you preach what you've been through? See, most of the things I preach, it ain't theory. It's stuff I've dealt with, the stuff I've got to deal with, the stuff I go through. Come on. See, I'm not talking about a theoretician. I'm talking about a practitioner. I would rather have somebody. I don't want somebody. I've said this many times. I don't want advice about my marriage from somebody who's never had a cross word. Well, me and my spouse, we've never had a cross word. Then you ain't got nothing to say to me. Because that ain't my life. I want to talk to somebody that said, man, I'm going to tell you what. I almost killed my spouse. Yeah. You're the one I need to talk to. Now, what did you do not to do it, and how'd you get over it and through it? Right? That's real life. I mean, you can be all holy if you want to. Well, if we're just holy enough, if we just pray enough. No. Me and my wife would never have a problem if she didn't have an opinion. That's right. But she has an opinion. And it ain't always the same as mine. All right, let me help some of you right here. Let me help some of you. Feel the quickening of the Holy Spirit. See, that's what's wrong with this nation. Just because our opinions differ, don't mean that we got to hate each other. Amen. See, me and my wife have differences of opinions. She knows I'm always right, but anyway. No. We have a difference of opinion, but we still love each other. Amen. We can only do His will by His working. Why don't you give God a try? Wait a minute, preacher, you're talking to an 8:30 service on a Sunday morning. Everybody in here is probably saved. No. I'm not talking to the unsaved. I'm talking to the saved and the unsaved. Because I know people who are saved but living through hell trying to get to heaven. You is miserable and aggravated and can't get no help and can't get no strength. Feel like the world's against you. Feel like God's no help. But you're scared of going to hell, so you come to church and just kind of hang on with your fingernails trying to serve God. That's not the life that God has for you. That's not the life that God has for you. Now listen, if fear will get you to heaven, be afraid. Because there is a hell to shun. And there's a heaven to gain. I 100% believe that. Well, I don't believe in hell. That's why you live the way you live. If you truly believed in hell, I'd be like, hey, I ain't going there. You know? If you truly believe, everybody in this room knows that you drive different when a police officer's behind you. Right? You could be doing nothing wrong. All of a sudden, your hiney gets tight. Right? Almost everybody in here. Now, we got so many police officers that come to this church. I've been becoming a police officer myself. This morning at 5 o'clock, 4:45, I was pulling out of Dunkin' Donut and this car coming. I go, bro, you're going too fast. But, bro, if I had some lights, I'd light you up. Then they got a little closer and I realized it was a police officer. I started laughing. As a matter of fact, Mike, I thought about you. I said, I got too many cops in my church now. I'm living vicariously through them. Our faith will grow effective and strong as we begin to acknowledge that God's work He is doing in us. When we begin, God, you're doing a work in us. I might not understand everything. I might not can articulate everything, but you're doing a good work in me. And my faith is becoming stronger. My peace will become unbreakable. And my joy will be unbound. Because devil, you can't lose. You can't cause me to quit. You can't lose with the stuff I use, baby. It's Jesus. Jesus crucified. Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Come on, stand to your feet in this place. Would you bow your heads with me, everybody in this place? I never like to give a end of Sunday morning without giving the opportunity if you don't know Jesus. If you don't know Jesus, I want to give you that opportunity to ask Him to come into your heart and forgive you of your sin. If you're in this place and you don't know Jesus, I promise I won't embarrass you. Just lift up your hand. You can put it right back down.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.